Chapter 6. But not long after this, the king sent an Athenian senior to compel the Judeans to abandon the laws of their fathers and to cease living by the laws of God, but to also pollute the inner sanctum in Jerusalem and to call it after the name of Zeus of Olympios, and to call the one on Mount Gerizim after Zeus the Hospitable, as the inhabitants of the place requested. But harsh and entirely difficult to deal with was this promoting of evil. For indeed, the foreign nations filled the temple with debauchery and revelry, and they amused themselves with harlots and had intercourse with women even within the sacred enclosures. But they brought forbidden things inside. But the altar was covered with offerings illegal by the laws. But a man was not allowed to keep Sabbath or to celebrate the festivals of their fathers, nor even to admit that he was a Judean. Now at the monthly celebration of the king's birthday, the Judeans were brought, under bitter constraint, to partake of the sacrifices. But when the festival of Dionysos was celebrated, they were compelled to march in his procession of Dionysos, wearing wreaths of ivy. But at the suggestion of Ptolemaios, a decree was issued ordering the neighboring Hellenic cities to act in the same way against the Judeans and make them partake of the sacrifices, but to murder those who would not consent to adopt the Hellenic customs. Therefore, it was obvious that disaster was impending. For there were two women who were brought in for having circumcised their children, but were publicly paraded about the city with their babies hanging at their breasts, and then were hurled down from the top of the city wall. But others, who had stealthily met together in nearby caves to observe the week, were betrayed to Philippos and were all burned together. For due to their respect for the glory of that solemn day, they had piously refrained from defending themselves. Therefore, I beg those who read this book not to be disheartened by these misfortunes, but to take into account that these chastisements were meant not for the ruin, but instead for the correction of our race. For it is even a sign of great kindness to punish the impious promptly, instead of letting them go for long. For even in dealing with other nations, the master waits patiently until they reach the full measure of their sins before he punishes them. And with us, he has decided to deal differently, in order that his rightful punishment may not fall upon us more severely later, when our sins have reached their height. Indeed, he never withdraws his mercy from us. But although he rears us up with misfortunes, he does not leave behind his own people. Let what has been said suffice as a reminder of this, but we must go on with our short narrative. Eleazar, one of the principal scribes, a man now of advanced age and noble appearance, was being forced to open his mouth to eat swine meat. For preferring a death with good repute to a life of defilement, he went forward voluntarily to the timpani, but spat out the meat. As men ought to do who have the courage to reject things which it is not proper to taste, even for the love of life. But those in charge of that unlawful ritual meal took the man aside privately because of their long acquaintance with him and urged him to bring meat of his own providing, such as he could legitimately eat, but to pretend to be eating some of the meat of the sacrifice ordered by the king, so that in this way he would be set free from the death and be treated humanely on account of their old friendship with him. But he resumed a fine rationalization, which was worthy of his years and of the eminence of his advanced age and of his gray hair, which he had also reached with distinction, and of the beautiful life which he had lived since a boy. But above all, according to the holy and God-established legislation, saying to send him to the netherworld at once.
Such pretense is unbecoming of our age. Many young men would think the 90-year-old Eleazar had gone over to an alien religion. Should I thus dissimulate for the sake of a brief moment of life? They too would be led astray because of me, while I would bring shame and dishonor upon my old age. Even if, for the time being, I avoid the punishment of men, I shall never, whether alive or dead, escape the hands of the Almighty. Therefore, by manfully giving up my life now, I will prove myself worthy of my old age, and I will leave to the young a noble example of how to die willingly and generously for the revered and holy laws.
Now, having said this, he went immediately to the timpani. But those who had shortly before shown him kindness now changed to ill will, because what he had said seemed utter madness to them. But when he was about to die under the blows, he groaned and said,
"The Lord in his holy knowledge knows full well that, although I could have escape death, I'm not only enduring terrible pain in my body from this scourging, but also suffering and with joy in my soul because of my devotion to him."
And therefore, this was how he died, leaving in his death a model of bravery and a memorial of excellence, not only for the youths, but instead for the whole nation.